This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
Ireland and Scotland are both renowned for their single malt and blended whiskies. Glasgow, Scotland-based White & Mackay has been synonymous with fine blended whiskey since 1882. Most will recognize their iconic blends, Dalmore and Isle of Jura, in addition to White & Mackay's Fettercairn single malts. As an example of the brand's loyal following, in 2010, two bottles of 64-year-old Dalmore Trinitas malt whiskey sold at auction for $160,000. White & Mackay's master blender, Richard Patterson, has been in the industry for more than 42 years, becoming a master blender at the age of 26. Not too long ago, Patterson's 30-year-old White & Mackay blend was awarded the world's best blended whiskey by the International Wine and Spirits Consortium. Come along and join me as we visit with master blender Richard Patterson in Edinburgh, Scotland, where he shares his insights into savoring fine blended Scotch whiskey. And remember, they don't have whiskey tastings in Scotland, but they do have noses. As Richard Patterson points out, the essence of the whiskey experience is in the bouquet. Afterwards, we'll jump over to Northern Ireland's County Antrim on the north coast for a visit with Daryl McNally, distilling operations manager at the Old Bushmills Distillery. Bushmills is the world's first and oldest licensed whiskey distillery, having received its license from King James I way back in 1608. Like Jameson's, it's hard to think of Ireland without thinking of Bushmills. Come along and join us in Edinburgh, Scotland, for a visit with White & Mackay's master blender, Richard Patterson, as he shares his insights and passion for blended Scotch whiskey. Richard Patterson. Hi, Richard. How are you?
Fine, thanks, Tom.
Great. I understand that 95% of the Scotch whiskey distributed and sold throughout the world is a blended whiskey, so it obviously is the most popular.
It is, and it's always a very good question because a lot of people get easily confused. Let me just try and dispel that sort of mystery. First of all, we've got malt whiskey, which is from one distillery only. Then we have grain whiskey, which is made by another different method. And we've got blended whiskey, which literally means an amalgamation or a combination between malt whiskey and grain whiskey. Originally, my grandfather used to mix 50% malt with 50% grain. But probably in today's world, a more realistic figure would be round about 70% grain whiskey to 30% malt whiskey.
I understand that some blended whiskies can represent as much as 40 different varieties of whiskey.
Absolutely correct. Yes, this is absolutely true. Because it's like having a party. If you were going back home to the States tonight and you wanted to have a party, you would make up a list of all the guests that you were wanting to invite. Well, it's the same with creating a blended whiskey. Now, let me just go on to say there, first of all, a blender has two main objectives. First of all, he must create the style of his blend, but more importantly, he must maintain the consistency. And he can do that from the distilleries that are lying in Scotland. But he must get harmonization. So in your party, getting back to that, you select the guests which are going to be good for your party. And if it's a dinner party, then you would seat them down one with each other so there will be general harmony going throughout. So that's the same with the blender. What he must do is select his whiskies from four distinctive areas, the Lowlands, the Highlands, the Campbelltons and the Islands. And as you quite rightly say, we use as many as 35 to 40 different whiskies from either of these regions. But we first of all have the Lowland whiskies, which don't contain very big beefy whiskies. These have to go up in the Highland area, which need many, many years to mature. So that's the backbone of the blend. Then we come down to the complexity of Campbellton, and then over to Islay, which is, might be smoky, slightly temperamental. So what the blender does is select a proportion from each area, the Lowlands, the Highlands, the Campbells, and the areas.
Let me interrupt for a second. Do all blended whiskies represent all of the areas of Scotland?
No, this is a fair comment. You could probably have maybe the lighter, more fragrant whiskies dominantly coming from the Lowland areas, but a good commercial blend would contain a proportion mainly from the Highland region, which engulfs not only the Highlands, the Speyside, the Islands, including Orkney or Skye or even Jura. These are the main whiskies that will give you the backbone to the blend. But, you know, you can also get something like called a deluxe whiskey. Well, maybe that is a blended whiskey which may be not just 4 or 5 years old, something like 8 years old, 12 years old, or 15 years old. Always remembering the age of that blend is not the age. It has to be age specified on the label. The youngest spirit takes the age. So if it's 15, the youngest spirit age is not less than 15 years old.
So you might have an 18 or a 25-year-old whiskey representing 50% of that blend.
Absolutely correct. What the blender is trying to do, even though he has 15 or 18 on that, if he wants to give something with finesse and character, he might have to take his whiskies that are much, much older than that. And that's why he goes beyond the age specified. As far as determining the quality of the spirit, the blender literally has to look at his whiskey and smell it. And that will tell him probably 96% of what he needs to know about that individual spirit. So everything really is done on the nose, and as you probably can see, I have rather a big nose because my great-great-grandfather was Sir Anna de Bergerac, but that's another story. But really what he's doing is he lifts the whiskey up in a computer or nosing glass, and he smells it to see if it's young, aggressive, soft, opulent, round in many different flavours, and that's what he's doing. He's trying to assess the quality. Only when he's not sure will he then taste the product.
So you rarely taste a different...
Yeah. You must remember, Tom, when I'm nosing whiskey, a blended whiskey with 40 different constituent parts, we're talking about a blend with maybe containing 600 individual casks. And if I was to taste all of these, I would be pretty, you know, drunk at the end of the day. So everything is done by nose. It's like the balance of wine. If you smell a wine and then you come to taste it, you might get a difference. But as far as whiskey is concerned, what you nose is what you're going to get in the mouth.
When you nose a whiskey, is it just a simple process of sticking your nose in the glass and breathing in once, or is it more complex?
Well, first of all, you have the right apparatus. First of all, you need the nose, you need a sense of smell, you need to be aware of what's going on around you. Then in order to get all the whiskey into your nostril, you have to use a special glass called a Capita nosing glass. And this is fairly simple, like the one we've got here. As you can see, when it actually goes into the nose, you can only actually capture everything in it. So when you actually put the whiskey in the glass, you've got to try and arouse the whiskey. So we add a little water to it. And then you swirl it around in the glass, bring it up and say, hello. Because first of all, the alcohol hits your nose, but you've got to go beyond that. So you smell it again and you say, how are you? It then starts to open up. Then you go back to a third time and say, quite well, thank you very much. Because at the end of the nose, jumping over the alcohol, it first tells you, I'm hot, I'm fiery, I'm peppery, I need to mature, I need to go to sleep. And this tells you everything you need to know in that just three simple progressions. And that's literally what it's all about.
Can a young whiskey be as good as an old whiskey?
It probably can in many respects. It depends on your temperament. Like a younger whiskey is for perhaps in the early afternoon or after lunch. But when you get slightly older whiskeys, like a 12 or 18, you need something like a bit more relaxation. After a nice dinner, you need to settle down. You need to let everything take its time. And therefore, 12-year-old, 21-year-old is something for not to be hurried, something that should be sipped and savoured. You know, with coffee, I mean, that's very important. Coffee or tea, putting into the palate, warming it up, then taking the whiskey, reducing it with water, just a little splash, no ice. Don't take ice with it.
All right. Could you give the American listener some suggestions of a blended whiskey or whiskies that you might recommend that they start out with to discover?
Well, there's many different blends. I mean, over in America, there's no question that J&B, Cutty Sark are big blends. They're lighter blends, more fragrant blends. Then you get the Dewars, then you get the Ballantines. But, you know, try as many as you possibly can. I mean, there's so many undiscovered ones. You know, okay, you've got Grouse, you've got Bells, you've got White and Mackay. And, you know, they all have got something to talk about. They're all very individual. But
so it's real personality specific is what you're saying.
But really, you know, don't be scared to try them out because there's no bad scotches. I mean, our company, we could produce many different kinds of blended whiskies as well as, you know, Jim Beam and the old tailors and many other different products, but they really are. The reputation of our company has been built on the quality of our products. And we're not, you know, we're not just, it doesn't happen overnight. Our company goes back from 1844, so we know what we're talking about. And it's just a matter of trying to educate people and doing it moderately, not taking it in big measure. Sipping, savoring, enjoying. That's what it's all about.
All right. Richard Patterson, Master Blender with White & Mackay. It has been an absolute delight to talk to you and learn about whiskey and the art of blending.
Thanks very much, Don. But can I just say, always remember, you know, love makes the world go round. That's utter rubbish. Whiskey makes it go round, but twice as fast. Always remember that.
All right. Thank you, Richard. Daryl McNally, Distilling Operations Manager at the Old Bushmills Distillery.
How would you define Bushmills as far as its distinctive, unique characteristics?
Unique characteristics is that we use 100% malted barley as the backbone of what we produce here at the distillery. We use only the best ingredients, and we distill three times for that extra smoothness. So if you can imagine bourbon, most bourbon distilleries only distill once. They always use new wood. Scotch distilleries will distill two times, and they will use varying degrees of peatiness in their malt. We use malted barley with no peatiness whatsoever. So instead of drying it with smoke through it, we actually dry it with hot air, which gives it a completely different taste. And we'll do triple distillation to be sure to get all those lovely members of the alcohol family, but keep a very smooth, mellow taste to our malted whiskey. And then we use wood then to distinguish between our different brands, which makes us quite unique.
I was surprised at the presence of the sherry cask.
Yeah, well, primarily we would use mostly bourbon casks coming in from Kentucky. We deal with a company, a cooperage out in Kentucky, who only pick the select bourbon casks from certain whiskey distilleries in America. So therefore, we know that we're getting select quality casks coming in. And as well as that, we have a contract with a Spanish bodega to ensure that we have only those quality Oloroso sherry casks coming in to make sure that our Black Bush tastes today the same as it will next year and the following year and 5 years ago. So that's what we want to put the quality and money into our casks.
How do you maintain the equivalent of a boutique distillery but huge volume?
Yeah, I think that with Bushmills being the oldest licensed distillery in the world, with a license being granted in 1608 to the area known as the Rout here, I think we're the oldest because we're the best, right. Not the best because we're the oldest.
Looking back in the annals and records of Bushmills, what was their process compared to yours? How true have you stayed to the methodology that they did, say, 200 years ago?
Yes, well, what we've tried to do is, if it's not broken, you don't need to fix it. So we've handed down, I'd say, as a distillery manager, I'm just but a keeper, and I want to make sure and leave the distillery in as good a state as I inherited it when I retire. So as I say, it's handed down tradition, a lot of history. So we try to keep that same taste and formulation and backbone, using that single malt distillery that we use as the backbone of all our brands to create that lovely flavors of whiskey. So just above this this bar where we're standing is actually where the malting took place.
Did they do traditional floor malting?
Traditional floor malting, yep. And I think that finished about 1970, 1971.
But now I imagine it'd be more of a industrial process.
It's an industrial process, yes. It's based a steeping, germination and kilning process or drying process. The difference being with Irish malt is that there's distinct absence of any smoky character.
What other elements of Bushmills would you say are unique, that differentiates you, that you can't go anywhere to get the same experience?
Yep. Well, I would say being here, a tradition of family. So there's fathers, sons who've worked here. They're handing down those traditions to anybody new coming in from the local area. Mm-hmm. So it's like one big happy family of 110 people.
Your full name?
Daryl McNally, distillery manager.
You're very good.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from County Antrim, Northern Ireland, at Old Bushmills Distillery.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. Once again, svdpusa.org. And whether you're shopping for new or used items, donating them, or volunteering, you're helping the Society of St. Vincent de Paul help others.